welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. I'm David Haynes, and I'm joined by Thomas Majors. Thomas, how you doing today, buddy?
I am doing good. It's been so long since I've seen you, David.
Man, dude, you haven't changed one bit.
I look the same as I did about 5 minutes ago.
You're right about that. Speaking of 5 minutes ago, we just did a podcast about voices at the tomb, and we kind of found something that we want to explore a little more. We want to talk about angels.
That's right. And I'm not talking about my sister.
You're
definitely not my sister. I have a sister, older sister, who is named Angel.
Yes. And is she an angel?
No. No. She was a demon to me when I was little.
Does she have red hair?
Technically, she does not have red hair. It's a little bit of a reddish tint, kind of like mine every once in a while. But I commonly call her Diabolos Rojos.
The red devil.
Because she ain't no angel.
That's so funny, man. So I have found in my ministry, people often have questions about angels. Like, is something that intrigues people?
I agree, yes. I have a bunch of questions about angels.
Yeah, why is it that people are so intrigued about angels?
Probably because it's not of this realm, it's of the spiritual realm, and we don't know all of the details. We like to know things that we're not supposed to know.
Oh, that's it. Absolutely. It's almost like why there is such an intriguing element to the book of Revelation. There are certain aspects of Revelation that we don't know, we can't know, but we like to study it and think about it.
That's the reason we like to hear gossip too. Oh, ooh, what? That sounds tantalizing. Tell me more.
I have not thought about it like that. That's probably why people are intrigued by angels. One common question that I have about angels, or I've received about angels, is, preacher, have you ever seen an angel? Think you've ever seen an angel? Thomas, what about you? You think you've ever seen an angel?
I've kissed an angel in the morning.
Hey, Charlie Pratt. That is right.
I don't think I've ever seen an angel.
I don't think I have either. Not that I can willingly, knowingly say that was an angel. I don't think I have.
But it is possible that we have seen angels, right?
Yeah. And just unaware, we were not aware of the angel that was in our midst or in our presence.
What's that Bible verse? That's in Hebrews.
It's in there somewhere. They've entertained angels unawares. That's the King James Version, buddy.
That's Hebrews 13:2. It says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, because some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it.
Yeah. So it's almost as if the angel is there, you're unsure of it, and you are to treat that person well. So let me ask you, if there were to be an angel unaware, and you go to share the gospel with that angel, what would the angel say in response to a gospel presentation?
Dude, I have not thought about that. I think they would be affirming in whatever we say. I think they would be something like, I agree. I know that to be true. I believe that. I know it to be true. I've seen it with my own eyes. I think they would be affirming. I don't think they would be like, listen to me, boy. Yeah. I've seen that. I've heard that. Go talk to somebody else.
Yeah.
I think they would be affirming in that.
I think so. So Thomas, there are some people who want to get away from the spiritual realm or get away from the spiritual thing. And some might even say angels are not real. So let's go ahead and lay a foundation. Thomas, do you believe that angels are real?
I do, yes. I believe there are created spiritual beings that are working for God in a special way. And at least one angel, no, two angels in Scripture are named for us.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Gabriel
and
Michael.
Yeah.
Michael and Gabriel. And then one of the angels that fail is named for us as well. So we have three angels in Scripture that are named. We have Lucifer that fail. Now we call him Satan, the great deceiver. And then we have Michael and Gabriel. I do think they are real.
Yes. And I think they are real also. Many people get beside themselves about the reality of demons, and yet they don't see the reality of angels. But Thomas, if we read Scripture for what it says, there are two angels for every demon. Only a third of the angels fell and became demons. So if anyone is freaking out over demonic activity, be encouraged. There is angelic activity also.
I agree.
Okay, so speaking of angelic activity, Thomas, let's just go ahead and jump off the deep end. Let's go ahead and make all of our listeners mad. Are you ready for this question? I'm going to make you answer it. Is there such a thing as guardian angels?
I don't think so.
I don't either. I don't think so either. You know, I really don't. So so why do you think there's no such thing as a guardian angel?
I don't think there are guardian angels because I see their number as being static. Now, earlier you said to me, well, God could have created 1 billion of them.
Absolutely.
And he could have created one for all of humanity at that time.
That's right.
I mean, and that's true. But I think our number is not static. We're reproducing. He told us to be fruitful and multiply. And we're multiplying. Yeah. We're multiplying on the face of the earth. But I don't think that is true for angels. I think they have a static number. And I don't know what that static number is. I think I could take a guess at a number.
Really?
I do.
Okay. Are you going to base that on a passage in Revelation?
No. It would not be a passage in Revelation.
What are you basing this guess on?
Stick my finger up. Ah, the wind's blowing this way. And I think the wind is saying Jesus said that his father would give him 12 legions of angels to watch over him.
Okay, so let's rehearse what a legion is. How many are in a legion?
4,000 to 6,000.
4,000 to 6,000. So you could say there would be upwards of 72,000 angels.
Upwards of 72,000. At least 72,000. At least 72,000 angels.
Not at most. You are right about that. There's at least 72,000 angels.
And there's another place in Scripture, too, where it says that that he will come with myriads upon myriads upon myriads. Well, a myriad is 1,000. So you're looking at thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Yeah. So still, we're looking at least 72,000. Could be more than that.
And don't some believe that myriads of myriads, you know, that's an innumerable amount, you know, a large, vast number. So however many angels there are, I think that it is a large, vast number.
I just don't think there's a need for a guardian angel.
I agree with you. I think in the lives of Christians today, there is a need for the Holy Spirit of the Lord to direct our paths. I think often people view the guardian angel as a little bitty white angel on the right shoulder, as opposed to the red devil on the left shoulder or whatever. But angels don't do that.
No, I think you're right. The Holy Spirit is the better guide than an angel.
Yeah.
Because Jesus left and left specifically this earth saying, it's good for me to go because I'm going to give you a helper, someone who's going to come along and he's going to lead you. He's going to guide you to righteousness and away from unrighteousness. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. If we're talking about guidance, then we have something better than an angel to guide us.
Absolutely.
We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us.
Yes. And you know, and the Holy Spirit of God is our protector. And I'm speaking in a spiritual sense, but he spiritually protects us from the evils of Satan and definitely the condemnation of hell. He protects us from that. And I think there are some who believe that guardian angels are protectors, or it protected me from having a blowout whenever I was passing that 18-wheeler and I was running 85 miles an hour. I don't think guardian angels do that. I don't think there are guardian angels. I don't think angels do that.
I don't think angels do that either, because I don't think there's a need. Mm-hmm. Because it says in Scripture, you know, Jesus says that aren't 2 sparrows sold for less than a penny? Something, you know, it's a paraphrase. And then he said, but doesn't our Heavenly Father know when one of them falls?
Absolutely.
And his eye is always on the sparrow.
Yeah.
He is clothing the lilies of the field.
Yeah.
Why should we worry about tomorrow when God takes care of these things, which are so insignificant, and we are created in his image? So I think God watches over us. I think God is our protector.
So have some, because of bad theology concerning angels, almost misplaced God, like, or they're misrepresenting God. They are attributing to angels good. They are attributing to demons bad. Now, I know demons do bad, but they're ruling out the theology of God being active in your life.
I believe that is true. And that kind of goes into that deist idea that God created the world and then he spun it into motion and he's sitting back kind of watching it.
Stepped away.
And he's allowing, you know, angels, or he's allowing people just to do what they want to do. And I don't see God that way. I mean, we look in the Old Testament, God is actively raising up nations and tearing nations down.
Yes.
He is actively calling people to work for him and to speak for him. And so God is active and working in our world today. And God, I think it's God's providence that is working in our life. It's God working. We call it providence. And he puts Ruth in the field of Boaz.
Right. Yeah.
It's not an angel.
No.
I think God works in our life. We call it providence, Romans 8:28, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he puts us right where we need to be. It's not an angel. I think it's God who is doing those things. You know, some people would say, well, an angel then, well, if he's not guiding you, if he's not protecting you, well, the angel is there to see when you might have need of something. Mm-hmm. He's your direct line of communication.
He serves you, whatever.
He's the direct line of communication between you and God. Mm-hmm. You know, if he sees you need something, do we need that?
Thomas, ain't they something called the priesthood of the believer?
Jesus is our great high priest,
absolutely,
isn't he?
Absolutely.
Well, maybe, is he intercessing for us? What would an angel be? A person who is making prayer requests for us?
No.
Would we need that?
We don't need that, and there's no biblical evidence to support an angel being our intercessor.
Because Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father.
Absolutely. We pray to God through the name of Jesus. And we put this, you know, in the will of the Lord, nothing including angels.
And it says that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us.
Yeah, that's right.
And then also, don't we have the Holy Spirit who moans and groans within our spirit?
When we don't know how to pray, when to pray, what to pray, it's the Spirit of the Lord, not an angel.
Yeah. Not an angel.
Yeah. All right, so Thomas, we've talked a lot about what angels don't do. What do angels do?
Specifically, I always view angels based upon that they are task-oriented spiritual creatures. Task-oriented. So God tells them, go speak. God tells them, go stop this person.
Yeah.
Like Balaam.
Yeah.
God tells them, go stand there, so that the people of God see you standing on the mountains, right?
Yes, absolutely.
That idea. I think they are task-oriented. God has specific persons for them. They are the gophers.
Yes. So could a person find him or herself under the protection of an angel at the direction of God, not a guardian angel?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yep. I think that the Lord controls things. I think the Lord allows things, permits things, and I think the angels have a function in that. You can see it in Old Testament warfare. You can see, right, in New Testament, announcing of the birth of Christ, announcement at the empty tomb. There are times where, I think it is God who gives the direction to angels, not angels serving themselves or serving us.
Right. I don't think angels serve us. The whole idea of a guardian angel is that they are in some sense serving us, that they're watching over us, protecting over us. It's based on like a TV show that back from the 90s or whatever that was.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that show? Had old a guy from the Little House on the Prairie.
That's right. Yeah.
Michael Landon.
I can't remember what the name of the show is, but they have that idea of what a guardian angel is. But an angel does not serve us, serves God. A moment ago, we were talking about angels, that we could have seen them and been unaware. What do you think an angel looks like?
Oh, man. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you what I think. I always picture, and I'm probably wrong, I picture a European descended guy with blonde hair, smooth face, white clothing, almost a glowing appearance. That's what I think.
All right.
And I think I'm dead wrong.
Well, I got another question for you then. In Isaiah chapter 6.
Oh.
Uh-huh. The seraphim, is that an angel?
Okay, so I believe that is an angel. Is that an angel? You're thinking about this. You've been thinking about it longer than I have.
I do think it's an angel.
Yeah, and that I did, what I described looks nothing like that.
And so the seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6 says it has two wings, six wings altogether, two on its back, two on its feet, two to cover its face. Mm-hmm. So it has six wings. And kind of a frightening thing. And people do, when they see angels, are frightened.
They're fearful.
Yes. They are fearful.
Yeah.
Yes. That could be because of the glory of the Lord reflecting off of
sure.
them.
Yeah.
Because they shine. They are very bright. And you remember even when Moses was reflecting the glory of God, that the people were afraid of him.
That's
because
right.
of
veiled,
that.
He veiled his face.
So he veiled his face. Yeah. And so when an angel comes, if they've been in the presence of God, they're going to reflect the glory of God. They're going to shine in such a way. And then probably the gravity of God's glory reflecting off of them would be fearful mm-hmm. to the person. But I think they can change their appearance.
I do. I think they can. I think demons can do that also.
I think they can mm-hmm. as well.
Yep.
I also think that they can be visible and invisible.
Okay. Letting those who need to see them, but those who do not, cannot.
Exactly. Same way with Balaam. You remember yeah, Balaam and the right. donkey.
That's right. The donkey. Donkey had better sense than Balaam. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of all the stories in the Bible, the one that gives me the greatest hope that God mm-hmm. can use me is Balaam and his donkey.
That is right. Absolutely.
If God can use that donkey, then he can use this donkey.
You're right about it, man. Absolutely.
Just change that word for donkey to
King James Version.
To the King James Version.
Yes, I have your contact in my phone. Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, I think they can be seen and then unseen. Yeah. And I think they're probably working all around doing the work of God yeah. in various ways. And we never see them. And then at times, I think God can make them be seen.
Here's a question I have for you. In talking about what we're discussing, angels, and then let's throw in the demonic capability of the fallen angels. And now let's think about their warfare. Whenever we read of spiritual warfare, whether it's New Testament or Old Testament, especially in the book of Daniel, there seems to be battles that are engaged in by angels and demons. When those are depicted in pop culture, they're often depicted with weaponry, swords, you know, things like that. Do you think angels, demons fight with legitimate weapons, or is their weaponry spiritual in nature?
Ooh, that's a great question. I've never thought about it.
And I don't know. I don't know that we can answer, you know, which honestly on this podcast, we do a whole lot of just giving our opinion. And that's what makes it fun. If we just got on here and read scripture, it would be a lot better, but we give our opinion on things. And so, I wonder, do they actually fight with weaponry, or is that human nature trying to describe things that are beyond our realm?
Well, since you've asked it, I'm gonna opine on this for just a moment. I think it is us trying to put spiritual warfare into something that we can understand. Paul says that we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers, principalities, those things. When Paul tells us that we are in a spiritual battle, he doesn't tell us to pick up a real sword. He tells us to pick up the sword of the Spirit. He doesn't tell us to put on a real leather belt. He tells us to put on the belt of truth.
That's right. Breastplate of righteousness.
And the breastplate of righteousness. When Jesus stands, I believe Jesus is the white rider on the horse. When Jesus stands in front of the battle of Armageddon, he does not pull out a sword.
No.
He slays them with the word that comes out of his mouth.
That's right.
So that's spiritual. So I'm going to say spiritual.
I agree with you. I don't think earthly weaponry can harm an angel or a demon. I don't believe they can be hurt. I don't think they can. Hey, they were not born and they cannot die. At least they cannot die as of yet until we get to the final judgment. But I believe however many angels were created, there's still that many number today.
I agree with that. I think there's still the same number. But let's just think about this. All right, now there is a passage that says that there is an angel. The Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden. An angel was stationed with a flaming sword. Now, let me ask you this. Is that a real flaming sword or is it?
So let me go walk through. I've always taken that to have been a literal, real flaming sword for a season of time. I don't think that angel is still there. Let me try to tell you how I've walked through this. April, my wife and I have often discussed this. And
go ahead. I've just had a thought. I've never thought it before. Okay. I'm sorry.
So April and I have often discussed this. And we wonder if the way to Eden became inaccessible as the thorns and thistles and the fall happened, and then the result of the fall made the way inaccessible. That's one question. The second question we have is this, and I think the Garden of Eden is now sitting underwater. I think post Noah and post waters above, waters beneath, I think Pangea broke up, and I think that the Garden of Eden is somewhere now that's inaccessible. But for a season of time, I actually think there was a literal angel that was there with a flaming sword. Do you think it was a literal angel? And then let's get back to your epiphany that you just had.
I have never thought through it completely.
Okay.
I've always just kind of went with that idea. Okay, the Garden of Eden, it was sealed off. There was an angel there with a flaming sword. I do think it was a real angel. But obviously, it was a real physical place. And I guess in my mind, I had made Eden a spiritual realm only, but my epiphany just a moment ago was it was destroyed. It had to be destroyed in Noah with Noah and the flood.
Yeah,
and whether it's underground now or whether it is somewhere else, we would never know
we could walk across it and not know it now.
That's exactly right, because of Noah's flood changed the landscape of our world today.
I completely agree.
That's a great thought.
Oh, you're welcome. Unless we can thank my wife also. You know, she listens to this podcast and she loves it because I always speak positively about her.
And here's to you, Leslie Knope.
Oh, that's so funny. All right. So, Thomas, I think angels have specific responsibilities, like the flame, the angel with flaming sword. What about those angels that are held in, the river Euphrates that are going to be released at a later time? What caused their demise? Where there are some angels that are free to roam and free to do the works of Satan, but those bad boys are bound.
All right, so I think that angels that fail, we call them demons, right? We call them demons. I think those demons that are locked away, I think you go back to Genesis.
You and I are on the same.
I think you go back to Genesis where where you have the Nephilim, where there are some kind of inappropriate sexual relationship between something, and I'm saying it's demons, and women of earth. And they create this super race. These men of renown.
Yeah.
The Nephilim. And I think those are fallen angels. God locks them away as punishment for what they've done so that others don't continue to do that. And they will be released later in time.
All right, Thomas. You and I are on the same page in this. We agree on this.
Great minds think alike.
You're right about that, but allow me to argue that point. Okay? So you mean to tell me angels can reproduce?
I think they can.
So you mean to tell me that angels have boy parts?
I think they do.
But what about that passage where Jesus is asked about the, you remember the whole thing about the resurrection. Some people came to Jesus, they didn't believe in a resurrection, and they were going to make Jesus out to be a fool in the way he thought. What if a man takes a wife and then he dies before he can bear children, and then the second brother, the third, fourth, 1 through 7 have this woman, whose wife will she be in heaven? And what did Jesus say?
I'm glad you asked that, David, because I have that verse memorized. In no way have we paused this and are starting it back, and I'm reading it right now from the Bible, okay? I have it memorized. Matthew 22:30. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven.
Wow, Thomas, I've never noticed that whenever you recite a verse from memory, it sounds just like you're reading it. So
from the New American Standard.
All right, so Thomas, here's the argument that many will make. Right there. Jesus says angels are neither marry nor are given in marriage. So that lets us know they cannot reproduce.
That's not true. That's not exactly what it's saying. It's not saying that they do not have children. It does not say that they don't have the ability to have children. It just says that they're not given in marriage and that they do not marry and that they do not die either. It says that they are not given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. So angels in heaven do not marry. And the way I always think about this is, in heaven, there's no need for the angels to have children. There's no need for progeny in heaven. So here on earth, we live and we die. And of course, I think, you know, when God first gives the command to be fruitful and multiply, that they were going to be fruitful and multiply and they were going to live forever. But in heaven, there is no need for that because we live forever. We have resurrected bodies. There will be no death in heaven that is done away with. And so there's not going to be a need for marriage and for reproduction in marriage. And so I think the angels have the ability. They just don't use that ability. And I think there's some evidence of that even today in our time. And probably you know of a lady in a church who we might would call an old maid, a lady who is definitely older in life, who never married, and who has always stayed single. And rarely, too, you find that with men as well. There are men who go their entire life without marrying. They have the stuff to reproduce. They just don't use it that way because they're not married. And as far as I know, you know, they're not living sinfully and using it outside of the marriage and that marriage relationship. They just have the ability to, but they just don't participate. And that's the way I view angels and demons.
I have a question, and I want us to kind of think through this with our listeners. We believe, you and I believe, in 6 literal days of creation. So when were angels created?
I think it's either day 4 or day 6.
Okay. Why day 4 or day 6?
All right, day 4, because on day 4, he creates the sun, moon, stars. And there are places in Scripture where angels are described as stars, shining ones. Yeah. So I think it possibly could be there.
Gotcha. And we know that in a similar passage in Job, the angels are referred to in a similar way, what you just mentioned. And then it also says that they rejoiced at creation. So we know that they were there around the creation time. I don't think that angels were created post day 6. I don't think it was post day 6. I think it was pre day 6. What about the idea of day 0?
I don't like the idea of day 0.
Okay. Why do you not like that idea?
Because we have the creation of light and darkness on day one. And so I think he is creating the physical universe that we see.
Yeah. And so before day one, the physical universe does not exist, is what you would say. Do angels exist within our physical universe, or are they in a separate reality?
All right. So we know, and we've talked about it already in the podcast, that they can come into our reality, physical. They can be seen. They, I'm assuming, can be touched.
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah. So I know they can come into our physical reality, but I've said it numerous times already. They are spiritual beings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They are spiritual beings. I don't, and I guess we could see the idea of creation being the creation of physical things. Mm-hmm. But in my idea that God has created ex nihilo out of nothing,
yeah.
I think there is nothingness except for God.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
yeah.
And with that, God has created. And whether it be physical or spiritual, I can't put nothing at day zero.
Gotcha.
Because God's there alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fully God's there alone. And so I'm definitely not putting it at zero.
Okay. All right. So I like the way that you're thinking. You said four or six. There is something that Kenny Digby said years ago that stuck with me. Dude, have you noticed? We can barely get through a podcast without referencing Dr. Kenny Digby.
I know. You know,
it is amazing the impact that he has had on our lives.
On both of us, yeah.
So he mentioned, Dr. Kenny Digby said something several years ago at a CLI, Christian Leadership Institute, that we were at. What God forms, he fills. Days 1, 2, 3, God formed. Days 4, 5, 6, he filled what he had previously formed. He says there is a correlation between days 1 and 4, 2 and 5, 3 and 6. And so I think if Kenny's theory on that is correct, I believe that the creation of angels would have been like what you're mentioning, day 4, day 6, you know, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I'm putting it at day 4. And the reason is because they are spiritual beings. They are referenced in other places as celestial. And of course, we know that stars and things were created on day 4. So I think God could have created them on day 4 as part of that spiritual realm. And some part of me drops down to day 6 because he's creating all living things. Mm-hmm. On day 6.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I begin to think about, well, is it day 6? Because he's creating all living things. He creates, he creates fish and fowl on 5. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But all of the things on the earth,
Right.
And the things under the earth, the creeping and crawling things.
Yeah.
And animal life he created on 6, but the fish and the fowl being different, he created those on 5.
Yeah.
So I'm going back with 4.
Okay, you're going to stick with 4. Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer now. Okay. 4.
Yeah.
Well, now one of the other questions would be: so where do you fall? You day 0?
Day zero is. Is a really good thought. I am going to fall day 4 simply because of ex nihilo, you know, simply because of what you explained earlier. I'm going to fall day 4, but I'm very intrigued with the day 0 idea. And I'm very intrigued that God might have created outside of our natural realm. I'm just intrigued by it. And it's just a thought, but I'm going to follow day 4 if you're going to push me on it. Way to go, Thomas.
I'm pushing you on it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, how much time is between 1 and 3? Genesis 1 and Genesis 3. So most people believe that on day 6.
Yeah.
He created day 7, he rested. Day 8, they failed.
They fail. Right. Let me share with you a thought by Dr. Matt Brown. He countered my argument because of Mark Robbins. I had shared this idea with Mark Robbins. Mark was in a systematic theology class or something like that, taught by Dr. Brown. Mark Robbins brought up my theory, and Brown then said what I'm about to share with you in just a moment. And I think Brown is right. I think Brown's counter to my theory negates my theory. So, all right, so you have asked how much time passes. Basically, how much time passed between day six, or you could even say day seven after the resting and then the fall. And I've always thought about it like this. The wages of sin is death. There's no way around it. The wages of sin is death. And I think the opposite of that verse is true. Where there is no sin, there is no death. And so I think that Adam and Eve could have lived in sinless perfection for a billion years, for 27 billion years. I can almost argue the point if someone wants to say that rock is 38 billion years old, I can almost say, okay, I'm right there with you. I think it's been 7,000-ish years since the fall, but not since creation. Because I think the deteriorating aspect of what we can see is from the fall. Now, see, I've just now argued myself out of that, because if there was perfection, there would have been no deteriorating effect that might lead a scientist to say a rock is 38 billion years old. But let me continue on with my thought. If there is no sin, then there is no death. And so I shared that with Mark Robbins, who has shared that in a class, Dr. Matt Brown. And Matt said, well, there's a problem. After creation, Adam and Eve were instructed to procreate, to fill the earth. And he said, had they existed for a period of time without physical relationships which resulted in the birth of children, they would have been in sin, because they would not have followed God's command to multiply and fill the earth. So I think Brown is right.
I think both of those arguments have merit. I do. I don't think it's day eight. It could have possibly been day eight. It could have been. I don't think it is. But I think there's a undescript amount of time that's happening between Genesis 1 and Genesis 3. I do think there are literal days of creation. I think for six literal days of creation, one day of rest. And then we move to this undisclosed amount of time. It could have been on day eight. It could have been 3 months down the road. It could have been 6 months down the road, 9 months down the road, 2 years. Or if your theory is right, it could have been thousands of years before that. So whether angels were created on day four or day six, however long that period of time is between the creation and the fall, we do know that part of the spiritual realm fell and all of the physical realm fell in that. And there's just some things that we won't truly know until we get to heaven.
You know, Thomas, we're still called to walk by faith. Yeah, exactly. There's some things we're not going to know. We're not going to understand. And that's okay.
Well, I'm hungry, and it's time for me, you, and our guardian angels to go to lunch.
You're right about it. I hope some unaware angel shows up and buys their lunch, man.
That would be nice. Well, David, it's been good to talk with you about the idea of angels and guardian angels and all of what that kind of means. Of course, we'll know all of this fully when we get to heaven. Can't wait for that day to know fully as I am fully known. But until then, as you said, we just walk by faith. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope you join us again next time.